April 25th, 2021. Let's learn Nefesh HaHayim Sha'ar Dalet. So a brief introduction before you understand exactly what we're reading is who wrote Nefesh HaHayim, what's the objective of the book, and in turn, why are we reading Sha'ar Dalet. Well, the author of the book, his name was Rabbi Chaim Avalazhin. These are the two books that are written either as a direct biography or an intellectual biography of him. One is written by Rabbi Eliach, not the Rabbi Eliach you know. Well, I don't know if you know that one, but not that one. His name is Rabbi Dov Eliach. Happens to be his father's name is David Eliach. So I had a friend who was on a bus with him in Israel, this Eliach, and he only knew the Eliach from Yeshiva Flap, which is a year related. Turns out they're cousins. They're worlds apart, one from the other. This is Rabbi Dov Eliach. It's called Avi HaYeshivot. We'll explain why in a second. It's called Avi HaYeshivot with a lot of pictures of rabbis on the back and inside of it. And then this book, Torah for Torah's Sake, is written by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. He was previously the president or the head of Yeshiva University for many years, and this is actually his dissertation. His PhD is in the works of Rabbi Chaim Avalazhin and his contemporaries. It's really on Sha'ar Dalet, which we're learning of Nefesh HaHayim, which we'll address in just a few moments. Who was Rabbi Chaim Avalazhin, and why is there so much written about him? He's a rabbi who lived, is born the year that's generally given, is 1749 until 1821. He's the prized and Talmid Muvhak of Gaon Mivilna. Gaon Mivilna, Rabbi Eliyahu of Vilna, is perhaps the best known from that generation, from the early 17th century. And this is his prized student, hands down, everyone says this is his greatest of students. Rabbi Chaim Avalazhin, as this book suggests in its name, Avi HaYeshivot, he's known as the father of the yeshiva system. He founded and headed for many years Etz Chaim Yeshiva. Yeshivat Etz Chaim is the Volozhin Yeshiva, the famous. That's why he's known as Rabbi Chaim of Volozhin. He wasn't born in Volozhin, but he was the head of Volozhin Yeshiva. So he wrote not too much, but we have enough to understand at the very least some of his perspectives. Very little in the realm of halakha, but we have some teshubot of his. We have, this is his magnum opus. It's Nefesh HaHayim. He wrote a perush on Perkei Avot as well called Ruach HaYim. Of course, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, in the eyes of the Mekubalim, describe who we are as human beings. Nefesh being the lowest of those rungs, the most practical actions. Nefesh HaHayim is his book. It has four she'arim to it, four gates, so to speak, to it. A few years ago, I learned together with some people on Sunday mornings, the first she'ar. Then there's the second and the third, and then there's several things called pirakim, and then there's the last of the she'arim. So why am I skipping you to the last of the she'arim? Sha'ar Dalet hones in and focuses specifically on this, on Torah for Torah's sake, on what he calls Torah Lishma, on what the Chachamim refer to as Torah Lishma. So this book, which is very much Kabbalistically inspired, he'll be quoting from Zohar and from Kitvei Arizal and from the Idra and from Marhu constantly. In the last Sha'ar, he specifically focused on what's Torah Lishma. He'll tell us his objective in this first Perek, which we'll read today. But best to understand the milieu, the understanding of what's going on during this time period is, this is a time period during which there's an understanding amongst people like him, traditional-minded folk, let's call it, that there's an infiltration from simple-minded, wrongful approaches to Torah. Most poignantly, from Hasidut. Hasidut is gaining steam. It's becoming more popular. In its popularization, the understanding is it's diminishing true Torah, genuine Talmud Torah and approaches to Torah. It's focusing on, well, he'll talk about Devekut. Devekut is a mitzvah in the Torah, Ledov Kabo. We're supposed to cleave to God. But you can't focus on that to the extent that you've stopped focusing on the content, on the material aspects, on the action-based side. His rabbi, Gaon Mivilna, is famous for being a staunch oppositionist of Hasidut. He opposed it much of his life. He excommunicated Baal HaTanya, the father of Chabad Hasidut, more than once. His followers were very much opposed to any new strands and approaches to Judaism that they saw in Hasidut. The interesting thing is that Nefesh HaHayim, many people believe, is an absolute ability to validate the traditional approach and dispel of Hasidut. Not so simple, because if you compare his words and his approaches, as Rabbi Lamb kind of points out, to those of someone like the Baal HaTanya, of the father of Chabad Hasidut, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Layedi, you'll notice there's a lot of similarities. Less differences, more similarities. Okay, so it doesn't mean he was per se opposed to Hasidut in all of its facets, but he's nervous about what's going on. All right, that's the introduction. Here we go. So Perek Aleph here in Sha'ar Dalet, he begins, and this Perek will describe his game plan. That's what he tells us. He's not going to get too much into the content, into the back and forth. He'll give us his game plan. He says, Od zot amarti lavo b'migilat sefer katuv b'godel ha'chiyuv shel esek ha'torah al kol ish Yisrael yom v'layla. Now, lest you get nervous, I know we're working people over here, and he concludes the sentence with Yom Valayla. He says, the study of Torah is day and night. Don't get nervous. This can be very relevant to you, to me, and to everyone. But he begins the sentence, begins the perek by saying, I'm now going to come b'migilat sefer. That's an allusion. He's going to have a lot of allusions. Migilat sefer is an allusion to Tehillim, if I'm not mistaken. Perek mem in Tehillim. Okay, what he's describing is I'm going to put together a composition. And what am I going to write in this? Begodel ha'chiyuv shel Rambam describes this in his Hilchot Talmud Torah. It's something we're all familiar with. Pasuk says, "Va'agita bo yomam v'alayla." To a large extent, we're obligated in studying Torah at all times. It's true, we have to make a living. It's true, we need to deal with our own bodily functions, our family, our children, our wives, and so forth. And as a result, yomam v'alayla becomes everything in between all those other matters. But fundamentally, we're in a constant pursuit of understanding Torah, of developing our understanding of Torah.
What does asek mean, though?
Asek?
Asek. As a friend, because the lamod is, I assume, a little different than asek.
It's an interesting thing. It's funny you'll ask that. An Ashkenazi, probably, I imagine, a knowledgeable Ashkenazi, you're not a knowledgeable Sfaradi, would not ask that question, because in the morning we say, Ashek Chaim Sotav Svanu al Divre Torah. Ashkenazim say, La'asok be Divre Torah. Two noshaot in the Gemara and Masechet Berachot. What does al Divre Torah mean? It means on the words of Torah. La'asok means to toil in. Esek means working. It's the most broad, but it's the word the Chachamim use very often. They don't talk about Limud Torah, they talk about Esek HaTorah. As a result, that's the Beracha.
So toiling in Torah, though, could your actions day-to-day, as long as they're Torah-oriented, as long as
you're in the first sentence of the book and you're already getting to punchlines. Certainly, and I said, don't get nervous.
Absolutely.
I gotcha,
though.
I gotcha.
Your point last night, right, I was just thinking say the Beracha throughout the day because we started it, it's always on our mind.
And it's something on our mind.
Ashkenazim should be having to say it every time they sit down. Because
yes.
Being
unless you re-envision the word la'asok even for them, and you envision much along the lines of Joey, that esek haTorah means, kind of like Rashi writes at the beginning of Parashat Bechukotai, in Bechukotai teilechu bet mitzvatai tishmiru va'aztem otam. So as Rashi, what's in Bechukotai teilechu, shetiyu amelim baTorah. Amelut also means toiling, working. Generally speaking, the simple way of interpreting that line in Rashi is toiling in the Torah, the text that's in front of you. Some of the Mefarshim, a little less common, but it's very along your line of thought. Amelim means as I'm working, it's baTorah, it's with the Torah. But when we talk about Esek HaTorah in this context, La'asok b'divrei Torah, we're talking about it in the raw sense. Actually, you're right. In the broader sense, it means working with the Torah. Here we're talking about toiling in the Torah. He says, that's what I want to talk about. U'leharchiv me'at ha'dibur b'lashon medaberet gidolot yekar tif'arta u'ma'alata shel ha'Torah. He says, I want to broaden a bit in speech. While I talk about greatness, that's a pasuk, I think, Lashon Medaberet Gedolot, is another pasuk in Tehillim, about the Yekar Tiferet, that's from pasuk in Esther, right? Yekar and Tiferet is Machut HaHashverosh, they're showing it off. But again, Yekar and Tiferet in the most simple sense means the greatness, the grandeur, the majestic side, Ma'alata Shel HaTorah, that's what I want to do over here. Ve'ha'adam ha'yashar ha'osek ve'hogeba, בתורת חסד על לשונו, לעשות נחת רוח ליוסרו, ובוראו יתברך שמו. Now, I know this sentence seems somewhat straightforward once I translate it, but in my mind, it has a lot of yesodot packed into it already. Here's how it goes. He wants to talk about, again, the greatness of the Torah and so forth, and an individual who's yashar means straight, What's he referring to? Why is he referring to us as Yashar? It's true the rabbis refer to Avraham, Tzach, and Yaakov as Yesharim. So there's something special about being straight. Okay, for some reason he's already bringing our attention to Yashar, who's Osik, there's that word again, Vehoge. We know that word. We'll have to define what it means. Betorat Hesed Aleshono. I don't know about you. We say Eshet Hayel in my home, right? So Torat Hesed, Pasukin Mishle. Why is he talking about Torat Hesed? It's a nice allusion. It's a nice poetry. Why is he talking about that? La'asot Nahat Ruach, in order to make a Nahat Ruach. In order to make some sort of a pleasant smelling odor. Le'yosrov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for our Creator. Uboro, and of course he who crafted us, Yitbarach Shimo. What's he referring to in this line? So I would suggest the following. I'll break it down piece by piece for you. First and foremost, the first Mishnah in Perek Bet of Pirkei Avot has a statement of Rbi. Ezoi derech yeshara sheyavor lo ha'adam. Again, what's the straight way that a person should choose? Straight. Kol shehi tiferet le'oseha. V'tif'eret lo min ha'adam. The sentence beforehand he was talking about, yekar tif'eret, tif'eret grandeur. Says Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, in the first Mishnah, the second Perek of Pirkei Avot, you're looking for the straight path, choose a path in which you're doing both something that's positive and grand for yourself and the people around you, and le'oseah, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Kol shi tiferet le'oseh v'akadosh baruch hu v'tiferet lo min ha'adam, and people as well. Do you follow so far? So he's describing yashar. Yashar, we know from Pirkei Avot, means something you do which connects you to God and is positive for people around you. Step one. Step two over here is Torat Hesed. This is, again, this is all my imaginations, but you'll have to stick with me. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Memtet, describes the derasha of what Torat Chesed is. The Gemara says Torat Chesed is a person who's lomed al menat lelamed. It's a person who's going to teach others. That's Torat Chesed. So you follow what he said in this sentence. I'm going to speak to the straight ones who are involved in the Torah in the proper way. They're doing it in a Torah Chesed way. That's kol shi tiferet le'oseh v'tiferet lo min ha'adam. You're spreading it to others. That's the Chesed.
So why that's the Yashar?
That's the Yashar.
Is learning so that you can teach it.
Indeed. It's learning so that you can affect others with it. If it's not a formal teaching, we'll discuss in just a second, it works just as well. Kol shi tiferet le'oseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'tiferet lo min ha'adam. It might be through your actions because you studied it, become infectious to people around you. It might be just in terms of the way you speak, people pick up, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean per se you're actually milamid, that you're a teacher.
Like the walking, the talking, anything.
Fully and completely, but again, because of how it affects those around you. Mm-hmm. Right? That's Torat Chesed. And that's his description over here. And this is a fundamental in Nefesh HaChaim, in the world of the Mekubalim in general. And that is that Torah is not a personal achievement. Torah is a universal, cosmic achievement. It means that study of Torah, processing Torah, acting Torah, speaking Torah, thinking Torah, and so forth, affects the cosmos. This is something in their eyes, and maybe they should be in our eyes in some way or fashion, which affects existence itself. In fact, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, right? The world is created in some way or fashion through Chesed. The Kabbalists explain that very systematically. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in no need of a world. He's Kol Yachol, he's Echad, Yahid, Miyuhad. He has no need for us or for anything that goes on over here. The creation of the world was by definition chesed. It was an act of chesed in the rung of in the rings of the Mekubalim, the spheres of the Mekubalim. On the right hand side, you have Chokmah, and immediately beneath it you have Chesed, right? Chokmah is the way we imagine, we talked about this on Shabbat in some context. Chokmah means the first thought of something. You know, I just had this inspiration to do something. Bina is when I start to break it down. Da'at is when I really give it form. But I just have a thought, you know something? I need to live somewhere. That's Chokmah. Be nice. Okay, let me start with an architecture. Da'at is I actually, an architect, I'm actually going to plan it out. Right? That's Chokmah. Chokmah and Chesed are very much the underpinnings, the groundwork, the foundations of existence. In turn, Torah, which must manifest it in itself in a chesed fashion. It must be that Torah affects others. Torah is the underpinnings of existence. It's Zohar which says, "Istakel be'oraita ubara alma." Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol looked in the Torah in order to create the world. It's all one and the same. The concept being that existence is predicated upon Torah. Torah, in turn, is going to share certain aspects, its essence, with existence. Well, what is existence? Existence is chesed. In turn, true Torah is going to be chesed as well, which means in turn, and he'll develop this a great amount throughout his book, which means in turn that Torah needs to be seen through that vantage point of I'm doing something more than just making myself smarter. I'm doing something more than even just affecting the people around me. I'm literally changing the world. All right, that's in my mind.
That's how the world was created.
Because that's the way the world's created, and that's in turn the way the world's sustained.
Right.
In other words, if I built a building, and it has a certain foundations, the foundations need to be in place.
Right.
If they're not continuously upheld, the building falls down. If the world was created with chesed, it means that Torah, if we're understanding it as the underlining of the world, needs to be a continuous act of chesed. That's the vision, that's the vantage point.
The learning of Torah is the chesed that keeps the world going, more than changing the world.
Correct. If it's done properly, keeps the world alive. That's the way he'll describe it.
Is it just the learning or the Yashar way?
Joey's going to do this every time. He's going to get angry every time we use the word learning. Yes, we're saying learning. I only made five. I didn't realize there were so many people coming. The learning needs to be understood in a broader sense. It's not just as a book's open in front of you, Joey. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's everything that's encapsulated in Al Divrei Torah, Eseka Torah, and so forth. Yeah, but that's his description. Again, Ha'adam HaYashar, and we explained Yashar is a derech yeshara sheyavor lo ha'adam. Ha'osek vehogeba b'torat chesed ha'leshono, that's the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Tet, la'asot nahat ruach liyosro uboro yitbarach shemo. Let's hone in on those words. What's nahat ruach? Nahat ruach, Rashi mentions in his commentary to the Torah in Shemot Perek Chavtet and elsewhere. The Torah talks about bringing korbanot, and the korban will be l'reach nicholach. What's a reach nicholach? Says Rashi, nahat ruach. It's going to be a pleasant smell for God. What does that mean? As God doesn't have nostrils, even though it says v'hara'af. He doesn't have nostrils, he doesn't have a nose. Why do we describe korbanot as a nahat ruach? And really, what are we supposed to envision
nahat
with korbanot?
Well, I think I'm going to add in nahat ruach.
Yeah, I'll accept it, but Nahat Ruach, your Gan Eden, is for human beings. Over here, it appears it's L'Reach Nichoach L'Hashem. So it's as if we're sending up a sweet scent to him. What does that mean? First and foremost, what's the imagery? That's an important imagery. The imagery is when you're Makriva Korban, when you bring Ketoret, what's happening is there's smoke which is ascending. That smoke, I love smoke for this reason. Call me crazy if you must. Smoke is the connection that we have from lower world to upper world.
Oh.
That's it. Think about it for a second. I mean, how do you envision bringing something from our world up to the heavens? It's what comes from the fire. And we'll talk about that as we go along. So, I mean, smoke is our connectedness. That's what korbanot are they not? Korbanot means taking something physical from this world and sending it up. So already the imagery is there. What's with the smell? What's with the odor? So we've developed this on a Friday night at one point. Smell and odor, and it's perhaps most poignantly felt during this time period when people lose it during COVID, is oftentimes, if not always, associated with self. Smell, think for a second about Chet Eitz Hadat. This is the way Shem Mishimuel or B'nai Yisaschar, I forgot, one of the Sifrei Hasidut explains it. It says, look at Gan Eden and what took place over there with Eitz Hadat. There was a sin. All of the five senses except for one were used. There was listening to the Nahash. There was touching the tree. There was tasting the fruit. And there was seeing the fruit. The only one that's not used is smell. Because smell is not the external side of us. Smell is the part that's truly us. And in turn, as we send up ourselves, so to speak, borrowing from Ramban Nachmani's approach to Korbanot, what we're doing is we're sending up ourself. We're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with ourself. You're going to describe it as nice. The greatest description. In fact, Eddie Fowler pointed this out to me. He said, I Googled it. I don't know much about science, unfortunately. much to what others say. I don't know much anything about science. But what he pointed out to me is that when it comes to all the senses, aside for smell, there's generally speaking nerves through which it comes in. In other words, it's less direct. It has to go through one nerve to another nerve and so forth. Sight is one stage after another stage after another stage until it actually processes in the brain. Of course, it happens very quickly. Smell is very direct, which makes sense. Wow. Smell is who I am. The exciting part for me, I know all the midrashim and all the derashot from Pesukim, is there was this, firstly, the science was exciting. Secondly, before the science, I read an article in the New York Times, but the article in the New York Times described how people who got COVID said that they were surprised. They thought the taste would be the worst part for them. It was the smell. They said, I feel like I lost myself. I lost a part of myself. I was able to understand that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe at this point, I lost my sense of smell and taste for 2 years. And for 2 years, I was patient zero. Long before COVID, I was the person who lost. I had a terrible... It was my first week in Allenhurst, and the rabbi was away, and I had to do the Shabbat, and I was in bed for 4 days before him, pushed myself out. I needed a rabbi on the Shabbat. I don't blame it on the shul, but I can tell you, I lost it as a result, and it was very depressing for a long time. But the hardest part for me, and I mean it, was the inability to smell freshly cut grass, right. To smell next to the ocean, to smell the rain. I love those smells. I appreciate those smells. That's a sense of self. That's what he's describing over here. But again, the imagery is very insignificant for him because Nefesh HaHaim is describing already. He's hinting it already. Torah means I'm upholding existence. I'm causing those connections between heaven and earth. So of course it's going to be a Nahat Ruach that he's referring to. Furthermore, he referred to in the sentence, Ha'adam HaYashar HaOsek VeHogeba. It's not just Osek, it's Hogeba. We mentioned this in a Gemara class maybe 3-4 weeks ago. What's vehagita bo yomam v'alayla? What does it mean to be hoge in Torah? Generally speaking, we assume it means to think. The interesting thing is, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Mem Zayin writes that thinking, meharher bedivrei Torah, you don't make a beracha of al divrei Torah, v'asher b'harban, v'ha'anevna. You don't make the Birkot HaTorah. Why not? Says Gaon Mivilna, the rabbi of Nefesh HaHaim. So it's a pasuk says ve'agita bo yomam v'alayla. Ve'agita we generally translate as thought of Torah. You're gonna make the Bikot HaTorah on that. Okay, so you have to resolve Shulchan Aruch in some way. There are several approaches. For me, always the alluring approach, which is my own, but I'll tell you where I borrow it from, comes from a book from Nachum Sarna. Nachum Sarna wrote a perush on Tehillim, and in it he just points out very simply. First and foremost, he points out that historically, much like some of the schools I think do today, they chanted Torah. Torah was always chanted. That was the thing. You just chanted in the Ashkenazic world, in the Sephardic, in the Middle Eastern world, they were always chanting Torah. You just said Torah, Zug Torah, Yitaych Torah in the Ashkenazic. I don't know what they called it in the Kitab. But, you know, in other words, they were always just saying Pesukim. There's something to be said for just saying. First and foremost, it becomes rote. It becomes something that's just a part of me. Furthermore, speech, when we're able to speak Torah, as opposed to just thinking Torah, gives it a certain material side. I mean, we all know this educationally. The more I act, the more senses I involve in the experience, the more I am able to actually receive it. The Hagita, if you look at the Pasuk in Yehoshua, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chet, it goes like this. We know the Pasuk. Lo yamush sefer haTorah hazeh mi picha ve'agita bo yomam v'layla. Says Professor Sarnay. He says it appears as if the Hagita is mistranslated as thought. It's maybe speech. Now this all makes sense in context of Nefesh HaHaim as well. He's describing for us not just esoteric thought. He's describing us for something that's upholding the world. You need to bring it into existence. You need to bring those foundations out. Anyway, okay, he continues.
So go ahead. The Nahat Ruach, is that for Hashem? It's Hashem's Nahat Ruach that he's enjoying? Or is it what we're giving to Hashem to enjoy?
It's a twofold thing he's describing over here. He says, we do Torah Chesed, which infects others, and in turn, it's a Nahat Ruach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's called Shei Tiferet Le'Osea, Ve'Tiferet Lo Min HaAdam, right? Osea meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam meaning human beings. That's the way the world's going to work. That's the way Torah is going to work. Yeah, but it's a reference. V'ish da'at, and a person who's a man of da'at, we'll have opportunity to talk about da'at, Joe, I know. Ha'me'amitz koach, who gives his strength and his energy. L'sumcha u'l'sa'ada u'l'hahazik b'dakeha אחריה שזה ימים רבים לישראל, שהושפע לעסק התורה הקדושה בכל דור ודור. And I'm going to describe to you how you can and should be an איש דעת who gives his strength and his power and his energy לסומך, לסמוך means to lean, means to give support, ולסעדה is another word for support, ולהחזיק בדקה, I think it's a pasuk in Melachim, it literally means to fill in the cracks, meaning to fix. So what he's describing is through study of Torah, you're going to fix something. You're going to support something. What's he referring to? Existence. That's what he's doing again. He's telling you, studying Torah appropriately, with the right vantage point, with the right approach to it. Not only study, practicing. Living Torah gives a source of life to existence. It's a very anti-rational approach. And as someone who thinks very strictly rationally can't accept such a thing. Torah upholds the existence. Istakel be'oraita u'bara al na'al. Tell me it's some sort of analogy. It is an analogy, but it's describing existence.
But is it far-fetched? I see it as looking...
I didn't say it's far-fetched. No, I said it's not rational.
I see it as pretty rational, but...
I'll accept, but you'll have to defend yourself. Okay. I accept it as nefesh ha'chayim. I accept it as truth. It's hard to rationalize it. I mean, he will go to the following extent, and tell me if you'll rationalize it. In Perek Yod Aleph of Sha'ar Dalet, he'll say the following famous line: if there's a single second, a single moment in this world in which there's no study of Torah, what will happen? Utter destruction and end. And as a result, in his yeshiva, they had a round-the-clock study of Torah. It's a famous thing they had in Volozhin yeshiva for this reason. Today, it's a little bit easier. We have centers of Torah all over the place. We don't need one place that does it all. That, you're able to rationalize? I can accept it, certainly. Rationalize? But that's the same point. I'm saying it's in a physical sense, he'll tell you. You're saying it maybe in a metaphysical sense. He's telling you physically, you can't have existence if you don't have Torah. That's l'sa'ada, l'sumcha, l'hazik b'dakeh. You want to help existence of the world, you need Torah t'chesed. You need a world of, built on chesed, and in turn you need the continued sustenance through chesed of Torah.
So it so much becomes real that the physical world can cease to exist by one...
Indeed. For Kabbalists, and this is a theme that comes up throughout Nefesh HaChaim, you can't divide, something similar to what we talked about in Kodesh HaChol on Shabbat, you can't divide between physical and spiritual. Now, you of course could, I mean, but you shouldn't.
Right.
In other words, for example, to ask the... That's right. But they are so much a part of each other that as much as we try to divide them, as much as Harambam does divide them, it's about perfecting the intellect. The Kabbalists say, oh, really? So this is all a stumbling block? It's all here just to overcome? Or is there something to transcend within it? To take your body and turn it into a vehicle of ruhaniyut. So as a result, yes, it makes a lot of sense that within this system...
That's even the biggest proof to that, though, is that the spiritual is combined with the physical, and it's always working.
Certainly.
Bringing the spiritual...
You know what the counterclaim is. The counter... I'm sorry, I'm just playing the devil's advocate. Devil's advocate is what happens after death. There's decomposition of the body, but neshama continues. It means that there's a continued spiritual existence. Sure. Of course, the Kabbalists deal with that. They talk about something the Gemara mentioned called Hibut HaKeber, which means there's something physical going on afterwards. And then in their vision of the greatest time, it's Tehiyat HaMetim, when we come back in a physical sense as well. All right, we'll stop over here. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.